Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from 1 John, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. The Epistle for Quasimodogenity from the Old Synodical Conference Lesson Series gives us an opportunity today to discuss the relationship of feelings to faith. This topic is indeed appropriate this morning in between the assignment and the call service, at least for the second and fourth year students whose emotions are geared quite high for the announcement of the assignment and call, and whose reactions to the same have displayed and will display a great variety of feelings, all the way from highest elation to greatest devastation. Now, what feelings have to do with faith? Our text is prepared to unfold to us. There's a school of thought which believes that a man must feel that he is in grace in order to be saved. I think the first point of the text is that feelings are so unreliable. For you know, as long as things go well, as long as the fortunes of life are turned our way, like getting the call of our dreams, as long as nothing out of the ordinary occurs which plunges our heart into sorrow or grief or gloom or despair, we of course may feel ourselves in grace. We may even wonder what's wrong with that other fellow, what he has done, if he doesn't feel so fortunate. But when tables are turned on us, perhaps when we do not get that call of our dreams, or when we become dissatisfied with ourselves, when we are sorrowful, grieving, despairing, do we still feel sure of grace? And who is there whose heart does not condemn him? This is so common an experience that the Apostle John takes it for granted. Hence his rather casual, general statement in our text. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our hearts condemn us, the heart, the seat of our feelings, even as the mind, the seat of our intellect, of our thoughts and ideas. And how often our heart does condemn us. We're all sinners. We still have that old Adam in us. The old Adam misleads us into sin time and again. For all these sins, we merit only God's wrath, displeasure, temporal death, eternal damnation. We know this. We repent of our sins. We plead for mercy at God's throne of grace. Yet how often do these sins return to our minds? Sins which long ago have been repented of and forgiven. Still, they have a way of rising from the distant past, of stepping before our eyes most vividly in all their unwelcome ugliness and fiendishness, and of condemning us most mercilessly. Think of the horrors of our guilty consciences. That extremely guilty feeling which makes a person wish to hide from God and man. Think also of those troublesome moments of doubts and weakness which accompany these pangs of conscience. Weaknesses in which one is tempted to do most anything to get rid of this troublesome feeling of guilt. Doubts in which such questions arise as, are you really sure you're saved? Can God really be merciful to a sinner like me? Will God ever forgive so great and malicious a sin as mine? Causing one to cry out with St. Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And with the Jews of old, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. God appears so far away. No sign or feeling of his gracious presence is observed or felt at those times. Would you say then that in these moments when a Christian is filled with anxiety and fear, with grief and spiritual depression, God has actually withdrawn his grace? That in such moments when a Christian has momentarily lost his happy, glorious, satisfied feeling of grace, he has actually fallen from grace, is outside the kingdom of God, and lost? Well, our text says, if our heart condemn us, God, however, is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But we reply, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That heart of mine is so blind, narrow, ignorant, jumps to unwarranted conclusions, and condemns mercilessly. But God is greater than that. He is kind, merciful, gracious. He is so great that in his mercy and kindness, he found a way of reconciliation between God and man. For he sent his only begotten Son into the world to redeem that world from sin, death, and hell. And in obedience to his Father's will and out of love for us sinners, the Son of God came down upon the earth, took upon himself flesh and blood, and as man's substitute placed himself under the condemning law, kept the law fully in every respect, paid the wages of sin for us with his own suffering and death on the cross. In spirit, we see him hanging there on Mount Calvary, arms outstretched, hands and feet pierced, a crown of thorns on his head, a spear gash in his side, dying the death of a sinner in order that you and I might go free. By his perfect obedience to the will of his Father, his fulfilling of the law, his suffering and death, Christ Jesus met all the requirements of divine justice, appeased the wrath of God, obtained a righteousness which counts before God, and now offers forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation to all, and bids us to receive these in his blessed word and sacrament. Hereby, we can assure our hearts, calm and settle them, quiet our consciences with the fact that in Christ Jesus we now have a kind and ever so loving Father who forgives us our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All believers are now judged on the basis of Jesus' blood and righteousness. Although our consciences, our feelings, may continue to sadden or condemn us because of our disappointments, especially our sinfulness and wickedness, or because of some sin which we cannot forget, God overrules our feelings and our consciences and forgives us our sins for Jesus' sake. Ask any shut-in, any devout believer in Christ Jesus, if he can feel that his sins are forgiven, and he will answer, "Of course not. I cannot feel it. But I know that they are forgiven because God says so in his word." The Apostle Paul, speaking to the jailer at Philippi, did not say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt feel that thou art saved." But he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And in Ephesians 2:8, we do not read, "If thou dost feel that thou art in grace, thou art saved." But we read, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Nor did the Apostle John say, "If thou dost feel that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses thee from all sin, thou art cleansed." But he says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." A cheerful old Christian used to say when he heard people talk about their feelings, "Feelings, feelings, never bother about feelings. I simply cling to the old truth that Christ died for me and that he is my security for all eternity. To that I hold fast, not my feelings." The Christian hymn writer, "I cling to what my Savior taught and trust it, whether felt or not." How thankful we can be that in a world of uncertainty and doubt, no matter what our feelings are, positive or negative, we have that sure prophetic word and that blessed sacrament through which a reliable Savior, who has paid the price of sin in full and cleansed us from all unrighteousness, continues to come to us with his grace. Amen.